Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I just got back a few hours ago from what I would consider to be a good protest, a good size, not too big, not huge, not too small, but dozens of people.
Did you get a new shirt while you were there?
No, I got this from Bonnie.
Oh, okay. It's cool.
Thank you. She gave me a shirt that says peace, for those that don't know. They're not watching our video feed.
Describe that.
And anyway, we both went out. Actually, Bonnie and I and Coconut, the dog, went to this event. It was in Nashua at a place called Greeley Park. Nice park and very, very large properties. Plenty of room there. Anyway, dozens of people showed up. I left. I had to go because she had to go to work. So we had to leave by like noon 30 or so. So it was actually scheduled to go for a few more hours after that. Started at 10 a.m.
Okay.
So maybe even more people. It was one of those like all day things, like show up when you can kind of things. And it was some of the folks that were involved with Absolute Defiance, which is one of the protest groups here in New Hampshire that was out in front of the governor's house earlier this year. There were the Five Leader guys. I don't know if I'm saying the name of their group right, but they've been protesting out in front of the hospital chain called Dartmouth Medical Center here in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. The nurses have been out in front of these hospitals for the last several weeks.
Yep.
In fact, one of them, which was the headquarters in Lebanon, they were doing 24 hours. They would have somebody there at all times, day or night. Usually just one person. So they're taking a stand for five important freedoms. This is why they're demonstrating or demonstrated today. Freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of choice, freedom of assembly, and freedom of health, all of which I support. Mm. So a lot of times, you know, I show up at a protest and it's like, okay, I'm with you on this thing, but I'm not really with you on
this. Yeah, or these two, but not the other three or whatever it is. Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I support you, so I want to come out and check out the crowd and talk to people. And usually my goal at an event like this is to bring people closer to freedom.
Yes.
But with these important freedoms that they're protesting in favor of, I mean, I got nothing to say to you. They're already there. They're on spot.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that is 100% in line with the non-aggression principle.
Lockdowns and border closures have taken lives to increase suicide rates and destroyed livelihoods, causing financial ruin. No population should ever again be subjected to ubiquitous public incarceration. Excessive coronavirus restrictions measures must come to an end. And all state emergency declarations enabling these measures must be repealed. Tyrannical suppression of dissenting voices must be stopped, and peaceful citizen assembly must be respected by police forces instead of being violently crushed. And I don't know, was that in Sydney or was that Melbourne? Do we even know where that one was?
I forget.
With the 45-second long clip with dozens of people just crashing through a police line and lots of violence. I mean, I don't like to see it, but it's inevitable. You know, you keep pushing people, you keep telling them what they can't do and how they have to live and how they have to lock down and how they have to obey and that they can't go to work and that they can't take care of their families and that they can't go outside, you know, and go beyond 5 kilometers beyond their home and just all kinds of ridiculous restrictions. Somebody's going to get angry.
Yeah, well, most of the violence just isn't visible.
Right.
Like, that's the real violence right
Well, there's
there.
Violence at home, a lot of domestic violence that happens when people are forced to stay together.
Well, and I mean,
depression.
People wouldn't be doing this if there wasn't the threat, and threats are violent.
Yep, that's absolutely true. So that is exploding in Australia to some extent. Police arrested hundreds of people down there during these what they call unauthorized protests.
One of the notable conversations I had was with an elderly lady, and she said, "Yeah, I support freedom, but I don't want I have three grandkids and I don't want them being taught by a teacher who hasn't been vaccinated." So any guesses how I responded to her when she said that?
I hope with compassion and kindness. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, Dom.
What I said was, you do agree or you do know that, you know, the CDC say you can still transmit it, right? She said, yes. So I said, so you agree that they can still transmit it, and you're worried about them transmitting it to your kid, your grandkids, right? She said, yes. I said, respectfully, that doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
And she walked away.
Yeah.
So, I also had, there was a conversation with a nurse who he didn't complete he was pro-vax, but he understood the argument that it should be voluntary.
Sure.
So yeah, we had a really good dialogue with him, and I was surprised. I was kind of nervous. I thought that people would be like, you know,
hostile,
really nasty to us.
New Hampshire is the only state of all the 50 states to actually be returning the fines that they issued to the 8 businesses. So there wasn't a whole lot of fines issued, but to the 8 businesses that did get issued about $10,000 in totals worth of fines, the state is cutting checks to those people. And that's thanks to the Free Staters in the legislature. That's thanks to the Liberty Reps, as some of us call them there, that we actually have freedom-loving people in the state legislature that made that possible.
And
they forced the governor's hand on that. He did not want to sign that bill, but he basically had to. They put it in like the budget or something.
And to illustrate a bit of difference between other states and New Hampshire, New Hampshire was, at first they just said, hey, local jurisdictions, it's up to you to put in, you know, and only a few of them did. Like, largely the state of New Hampshire didn't put in any sort of mandates, right? And then eventually, I think the governor, you know, was like, well, everybody else is doing it, I better do it too, and he eventually put in a statewide one. But then he lifted that one, but other jurisdictions were still allowed to retain theirs, and they did for a minute, but then they went away. So it's a bit different than other states where, you know, it was just the governor coming in going statewide, right? New Hampshire gave local communities the option, right? So the local governance component operates a bit differently here than it does in my, you know, experience in other states.
And just to remind you how bad things are in Australia right now, this is a video from Nine News. Now, this isn't from yesterday in Australia, but it's from within the last week or so, and I've just had this one in my show prep. This is what is making the news.
Emma, good evening. What can you tell us?
Hey, well, it might look a bit quiet here now, but just a few hours ago, there was a lot of drama. A man was reportedly walking down the street and not wearing a mask when police...
That's it. I mean, there's more to the clip, but that's what a man was arrested for in Australia recently.
Walking down the street?
This is
with
what's
a
making,
human face?
This is what's making headlines. This is what is a 45-second clip on the nightly news.
...spotted him and stopped him. There was some type of confrontation, a struggle, and the man was being attempted to be arrested, and police are investigating whether he had a medical episode, but at this stage they're saying there was some sort of a struggle, ambulances were called, and that man was taken to hospital where he is in a stable condition. Police believe he will be fine. He is under police guard, and police say they are considering charges for him allegedly not wearing a mask.
Yeah, after they put this guy into the hospital, all state of emergency declarations must be repealed. What we're seeing, though, is more of them being implemented. We're seeing a new ratcheting up of crackdowns. Of course, Australia, it is still wintertime there. It's about to come to an end, but the tyranny isn't coming to an end. They've said in Australia that they're not going to lessen the lockdown restrictions until 70% have the vaccine in some of the states. Now, I don't know if all of the states of Australia have said the same thing, but in New South Wales, for instance, which is where Sydney is, that's what they've been saying. They've been on lockdown restriction ever since July or June of this year, and last we looked, they were in like the 30 to 40% vaccination range. So they're nowhere near a 70% vaccination rate. They're not going to be going out unless massive civil disobedience occurs and the government crumbles.
I repeatedly hear people, particularly on the social media, say things, well, like, that's not tyranny. Oh, really? At what percentage would it be tyranny, right? Well, because they're not requiring everybody. They're only requiring it up to, and it's like...
Seriously?
Yeah. It's like, it is such a dumb argument because it's at least 70% tyranny.
It's a tyrant.
At a minimum.
You are dealing with a tyrant when they say you must inject this into your veins or you cannot leave your home.
Agreed.
I mean, that is clear tyranny.
Yeah.
And if you do try to leave your home, there's a news report about you and a manhunt ensues. Our fundamental freedoms have top priority, and we cannot allow them to become constrained for the sake of generations following us. We cannot allow our human rights to be repackaged as human privileges, to be conditioned upon compliance with authoritarianism. And that is exactly what is going on. That's how these governments are marketing the vaccine passport. They're literally telling you things like, oh, you can get your freedom pass. You need to get your freedom pass if you ever want to go out to eat again, if you ever want to go out to a gym again, if you ever want to go to the theater again.
Free men do not require papers to prove that they are free.
That's right, because if it's a right, then you exercise the right, and supposedly, you know, governments are supposed to respect those rights, which we know they don't, and now they're just throwing them, any semblance of respect of those rights, completely in the trash can, you know, flushing it down the toilet. As the freedom movement develops around the world, a variety of new solutions are rising that will enable the people to take power back. An international freedom movement is emerging that is building alternatives to established power structures and ways of living. People are choosing to leave densely populated areas and forming new communities where they can more effectively govern themselves.
Oh, like moving to New Hampshire, for example.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there really is no better plan than this. I mean, look, I realize that people think Florida is some sort of a free place. Let me tell you, I left there 15 years ago. It is not.
Reason why I'm calling up is because I have some statistics that I created on my own using a spreadsheet based off of CDC numbers. In other words, official numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I use CDC numbers is because for anyone who wants to argue against these numbers, they would have to argue with what the CDC says. Okay. So, I figured out two different numbers. The yearly percentage of population of the United States that, using current available numbers, die from COVID. And on top of that, I found out the yearly percentage of population, roughly estimated, of the United States population that dies from the flu. Because it would finally settle that age-old question, well, is COVID like the flu, and how much worse is it?
Now, just to be clear, that you must have used numbers regarding the flu from before 2020, because the flu disappeared in 2020, yes. Didn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Quote-unquote.
I got was a 10-year average from 2010 to 2020.
Okay. Got it.
So, yeah. So, I found out, okay, so here's very easily, here's what I did. I took the average number of people from the last 1.75 years of people that have died from COVID or have been blamed on COVID, and that is 0.09% of the population.
Mm.
0.09% of the population of the United States, according to the numbers, die yearly from COVID, which is equivalent to just over 300,000 people a year. There is a 0.07% difference between the flu and COVID. In other words, yeah, there are 300,000 on average for COVID and 58,000 on average from the flu. But that kind of gives you a relative estimate. Now, if it turns out that if someone out there listening has more information about the daily deaths for the flu, I can pop that into my calculator and adjust the numbers that I came up with.
Well, how many people die from the flu are reported? Because there's a lot of reports of COVID, right? Like everybody going to the hospital is getting tested for COVID. Everybody dying from something is being tested for COVID. So the COVID numbers are definitely highly, if not over-reported. Whereas the flu, if you get sick and you die, I mean, maybe they're going to know you have the flu. Maybe they're not going to know you had the flu.
That's exactly what I was mentioning. On the CDC, when there was a page that talked about how they derive their estimates for their seasonal, what they call the burden.
So in the context of child custody, a tactic was used to sue me to be sued by my children's mother and the dude that she moved in with and then married a year later. They wanted to terminate my parental rights and adopt my children to him because obviously that would be more convenient. And in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Second Judicial District Court, Judge John J. Romero, I'm sorry, or initially Judge M. Monica Zamora, because it's important we expose these people, she decided that they proved their case and she terminated my parental rights to my own children. Based on their argument was that, one, I had not seen my children in more than 6 months or whatever the rule was, and two, I had not paid any child support, and that met the standard. Let's ignore the fact that I have a court order that said that you can't see your kids right now, buddy, and two, you don't have to pay any child support, buddy. I had a court order saying that. And then they used that very court order against me. And so what I did is I appealed Judge M. Monica Zamora to the New Mexico Court of Appeals, where a three-judge panel, Wexler, Bustamante, and Kennedy, Kennedy writing, wrote the decision in my favor.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Pecos Mountaineer, you've got some numbers about this. What was it? VAERS? Is that
yeah,
it?
VAERS.
And that's a voluntary reporting system for vaccine.
Yep. Stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
So if somebody dies or has some other serious issue, I presume, with a vaccine, they can report it to this system. And I don't know, is there verification? Do we know if there's any
It's filtered through the CDC and the FDA.
Okay,
so this is some sort of official thing to one of those two agencies.
Yeah, this is very much an official set of numbers.
Okay, and you're looking at number of people, according to VAERS, who have died from the COVID vaccine specifically, is that correct?
Well, and it doesn't just track deaths. Mm-hmm. It's adverse reactions, life-threatening events, hospitalizations, deaths, as we say, the number of permanent disabilities after the vaccination.
Oof, okay.
Number of office visits, emergency room visits, and birth defects.
Got it. And this is all rolled into one number?
No, these are
there are separate categories.
All separate categories.
Okay, got it.
I believe adverse reactions is the total of all of the other categories here.
Got it.
So, and what we've got here is the this particular site at VAERSanalysis.info is comparing the COVID-19 vaccines from December of 2020 to the present. I'll start with total deaths from all other vaccines combined from 1990 to the present.
Okay.
5,112.
Wow. Okay. And, not very many.
And from COVID, 6,756.
So more deaths.
More deaths from this single vaccine than every vaccine from the beginning of this system to the present combined.
Did you hear that there was an FDA conference that they had? There's video of this. It's an 8-hour long video, but at like 4 hours and 20 minutes into this video, which strange timing, there's a doctor who speaks, and I believe he's a doctor. Anyway, it's like the public comment section, and he shows the numbers, shows slides showing that more people have died from the vaccine, who took the vaccine, than would have died from COVID. Basically.
I've seen that. Yeah. Yes. Where, like, if you'd have just allowed Mother Nature to do the work and recovered from it, you know,
they'd have survived
fine.
It.
But I want to make sure that I'm hearing what you're saying properly, mm-hmm. Peakless Mountaineer. Because if I am hearing what you're saying properly, then the conclusion that I draw in my head is the COVID vaccines, right? Because there's three different flavors. Yep. Are the deadliest vaccine ever.
Yeah.
At least in the last 30 years.
By a huge margin.
We've talked about the restrictions placed. You just finished talking about the deaths, right? Like the worst possible things happening to people receiving the vaccine. And there's no doubt that's horrible. And people, you know, having their lives destroyed by this experimental medication. But the other thing that this whole COVID situation has destroyed, besides freedoms, which we talked about, you know, previously in the protests and all that, that have been going on today with a worldwide demonstration. The other thing it's destroyed is the basic level of humanity of being able to see another person's face.
Yeah.
And we talked about this last year quite a bit when the mask mandate started to come into place. Like, what is happening to these children? This is one of my viewpoints. It's like, I see these kids around town.
And this is, we talked briefly about, I mean, it's early studies, but this is warping their development.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just think of the effect that it has on, well, us, right? I'm an older dude. I'm a little bit deaf from being a musician for a couple of decades. And so, you know, when I'm at, you know, the grocery store, the Home Depot, whatever, you know, I kind of sort of lip read a little bit, right? It makes a difference. And when the masks came out, all of a sudden I thought, what are you trying to say?
Yeah, plus then they put the plexiglass up
and that made it worse.
It's absolutely horrifying. And she puts it back on him again.
Why would you videotape?
It's going to keep you safe, she says.
That's a great question. Like, Why would you videotape this?
You want to document that you're doing this?
Yeah, I found myself asking that question as well. Maybe they wanted to send it to the mother to show how bad
that's the only thing I can think
her
of
child
is
being.
Yeah.
Yay, Mason, yay!
And as she's saying, yay, Mason, he pulls it off again. Yeah. And that's the end of the minute and 20 second video.
I mean, kudos to the kid
for,
you know, taking it off every time. It's like, first of all,
future human being of America there.
First of all, no risk. Zero risk.
To this kid, you mean?
Yeah. COVID poses zero risk.
It'll keep you safe, Mason. It'll keep you safe, they said.
Not in any sort of risk category whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Second of all, it is unnatural. It's completely unnatural.
You can tell. It's crystal clear how wrong this is.
It is anti-natural. It is anti-human. It is anti-intelligence. And it is just ugly.
And third, I assume this is a public school where this happened.
No, this looks like a preschool to me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, in fact, it does say here, daycare. So the you can't read it from there, but at the top of the screen, there's like the text that the mother sort of attached to this post when she posted it online, whoever she was.
The institutionalization of children isn't limited to just the government.
Mm-hmm.
Because all families these days are double working families, near as I can tell. There are very few like single income families where you got kids and, you know, one of them stays at home and is the main person to do the child care and that kind of a stuff, because what happens is both parents will be working when they meet, and so then when they have kids, neither of them stops working.
Right.
And so now
The
only choice they have is to farm all that out to an institution.
Many of whom are totally obedient to the government, even if they aren't actually government institutions.
And regulated by the government all that, licensed. And
yeah, of course, this is New York State, so it's probably some of the worst of the worst as far as regulations on daycares and all of that. But nonetheless, most assuredly, this sort of a situation with these adults forcing a child to take his face away is very, very disturbing. Now, what's also disturbing are some of the comments on this particular tweet.
Cause I bet they're ugly.
This was tweeted by a woman, Science Mom, at 456 Train Mama, and she's right when she says this is child abuse. But then she accuses the governor of being a child abuser. And look, these women in this video are the ones engaging in the abuse. There's no doubt the governor is a terrible human being because, well, they're a governor and they have to be, just by definition, because government. I mean, that's what
government is abuse,
yes,
by the way.
It's horrible what they do to people.
I just heard that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, they just put up for a bill that if you are a child and you want to continue to take your mask off, they're going to put it through legislation this evening. They're doing it right now, actually. They're going to actually cut your hands off. So these kids, they better start wearing them masks, and they better keep them on, because Pelosi and them, they're going to come after you and take your hands.
Hey, I really hope that keeps being funny for a while, actually.
Hey, kid, you need a hand?
Man. What, did you hear this? These people are doing emotional damage.
Serious.
Emotional damage.
You guys got to stop playing that, man. It was making me more and more mad the more and more you guys played it.
Oh, it's enraging to watch this video. Yes. I mean, like, I've got my emotions under control pretty well, and I was pretty upset about this.
Holy smokes, man. These men. And imagine being that kid looking at these freaks.
I can't imagine that.
With their mask on coming at you with no emotion on their face.
Right.
No facial expressions. I mean, that's how we communicate. That's what they want. They don't want us to communicate.
That's how you communicate that you are not harmful, that you are not intending harm, is you smile. That is something that we do without thinking as human beings. You know, whether it be being at a grocery store as a clerk, you smile at the customer to let them know that they're welcome.
I was going to talk about my brother-in-law who'd been killed, I believe, by this Clovis shot over inflammation of his heart sac.
Oh, no.
But that seems like small potatoes after what we've been talking about here.
Mm.
I mean, there's so many factors. I mean, dogs, they respond to facial expressions, much less children. You can't teach a puppy with a mask on.
Mm-mm.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a fact.
If you walk up on a bear or any critter in the woods, and he looks at you with a diabolical instinct, what are you going to do? You're going to shoot him.
If you found
bears die.
Yeah, if most people would find a muzzled dog that had, you know, I don't know, escaped its owner or gotten out of its yard or whatever and brought it home, they would remove the muzzle. Most people would. Now, I'm not saying that's a good idea because perhaps the dog's wearing a muzzle because it bites or whatever, but that is your instinct to do so.
Most dogs that are barking at you are wagging their tail. They just want somebody to come play with them.
Yeah, that's true.
If the dog's wagging his tail, he has no ill intent.
Well, that's not always true. They have not found that all dogs wagging their tails are, you know, being nice.
Well, I mean, that's true because some of them are eager just to attack. But those are war dogs. That's a whole differently trained tactic. But anyway, so back to the children. The Wuhan Institute, you know, where this thing came from, these diabolical scientists have had 2.5 years since the inception of this first disease to create a second, a third, and a fourth.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.